Hi guys, it's Tori and I'm here with the wonderful Roz Hopkins again. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Tori. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I like that we get to escape into Fruba land.
Oh my gosh, me too. Especially with everything going on right now. It's not easy in Fruba land either. But it is definitely nice to dive somewhere else.
Like, yes, you're right. If you feel like you have to escape into Fruba land, you know it's getting crazy out there. But, you know, change is a good thing. We'll see what happens. I was actually making fun of the fact that LA, you know, has curfew now. And so they're like, hey, don't you leave your house from 6 to 6. And I'm like, come on, guys. It's been a pandemic. I think I can do that. Like, throw something harder at me. What else do you want me to do?
Curfew doesn't even sound like you're talking me into it.
No, it's a joke now. Like, you can't throw a curfew at us. We've been on curfew.
Because in all the movies where you see a city locked down under curfew, you never see, oh, there was also a pandemic. So I'll take my chances, sir.
That's
hilarious.
I think we're pretty good here, but thanks anyway. But no, we're excited to be talking and going through more episodes of Fruits Basket on our, you know, little theme of going through episodes kind of more towards themes of Fruits Basket.
Yeah, like the mini arcs instead of just episodic.
Yes, exactly. And so our next mini arc is actually going to be 6 through 9. All right, say cheese.
Cheese.
Oh, got it. You were smiling. I love this episode. This is the sleepover episode, but we get to kind of see some new characters. But yeah, so I think what would be fun to examine a little more is kind of the Zodiac characters that we experienced in our last episode, our last chapter, and kind of see their characteristics a little more. And I know, Roz, you were able to like pull up kind of what these characteristics are. Do you want to explain? Because we've met the rat, the cat, which might not be on there.
Yeah, unfortunately, I checked. Cat is not on here.
The dog, though, and then the boar.
All right, yeah. So the rat, Yuki, he's the first Zodiac year. Their personality traits are quick-witted, resourceful, versatile. They're also like the coolest, the lucky one. They mentioned they're the first to show up at the banquet in the show, so they're generally like revered, like, oh, you know, that's the best sign that you can be. So no cat. Oh, go ahead.
Do you think, like, so the order of them walking is probably the order of them in the months or years, because it's a year.
Yeah, that's supposed to be what it is, because they also mention, and we haven't quite met the ox yet, but the ox is the second one. Oh. And in the story, it rings true about the rat and the ox's relationship going to that banquet.
Interesting. I was wondering. All right, who's next?
Who's next? So if we go in the order of the Zodiac, that would be Toru and Shigure. They are the dog, which is the second to last. We haven't met that many animals yet. So the dog is loyal, honest, amiable, kind, cautious, and prudent. Huh. And as we see in Shigure, you can use your powers for good or for nefarious means.
I was like, interesting. Loyal, yes.
Honest,
I guess.
Yeah. Kind and cautious. They are there when they want to be. But then you also got to think about, like, a dog. If you think about, you know, a pet dog or somebody, a friend's dog, when they play with you, they play, but then they chase you. They'll take things away and they'll run away with it, which is kind of like teasing, right? And then Shigure teases people like his editor and his best friend, Hattori.
Nice. Okay. Right. I can see that. I'll go with that, because I'm like, there's two dogs in this house right now, and I do not think they're as scary as Shigure can be.
That's fair. I mean, there's all kinds of dogs,
They're just not that smart, but I do know Shigure is that smart. Toru, though. Okay.
Right. Like, yeah. That's okay. Honest? Let's go back to honest for her and amiable and kind, I think.
Yes. Definitely all those.
Then you mentioned the boar. Yep. So the boar is diligent, compassionate, generous, easygoing, and gentle. So there's definitely two sides to Kagura. She's very gentle, easygoing, and generous. She, you know, did all of that effort after she'd broken the house and spent her own money, tried to spend her own money to go buy food. She cares about people. But when she turns into like Kyo Kagura, then she gets the diligence and the compassion and what are you doing?
You know what's funny? I think as in most zodiac or horoscope, I feel like they gave you really good traits. And it's like, where are the negativities? And it's like, well, I'm pretty sure we don't have any. But I think it's the obsessive, emotionally unstable.
right. It's like there's the positive and the negative to all these traits. So like diligent and compassionate, if you're diligently working something, you could miss the things to the left and right of you, which is what I could offer is maybe the negative side of being the boar. If you're so focused on your goal, like Toru says, well, then you miss the things that are going around you.
Yeah, no, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And what's interesting is I think that's all of the people we've met so far.
So far, absolutely.
Yes. Interesting. And I just think it's good to kind of get the traits of the zodiac as people like ourselves who are into the Chinese zodiac and into the astrology. I think that's what initially brought me to Fruits Basket. I was like, ooh, okay, zodiac signs. Let's try this out. And then it became way more cooler than I thought it was going to be. By cooler, anime cooler.
Yeah.
It's a thing. But cool. Let's jump into our next, you know, little arc of episodes, which is episode 6 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
We have our first one, episode 6, which we like to call like, you know, the sleepover episode.
Yep.
Super cute. Saying cheese, smiling. Mm-hmm.
First thing that comes to your mind, macaroni and
cheese. It's so cute. So we meet Hattori, and we meet Momiji for real this time.
Yeah,
not just an instant,
not just hallway
pass by. Yes, pass by kisses. Mm-hmm. And we get to meet them at their school. You know, dealing with the rice balls. Ooh, that's what we are. And we get to see, you know, what the word "cute" means to some people, and I think that's an interesting take that I got off of this episode is their discussion, Yuki and Toru's discussion of the word cute. Because Toru had a different meaning than Yuki, and maybe that's how boys feel in general. Well, boys like to be called cute.
It's interesting because the big theme I think about this episode is being vulnerable, because all throughout this episode, there's a point where somebody's tense. Oh no, what if I'm exposed? Oh no, what if this happens? And Yuki's vulnerability in this is wearing a dress because the senpais wanted him to wear a dress. And he is very kind to them and went through with it. He's very uncomfortable. He says the reason is the cute thing, but really what it is to me is he has this big insecurity within himself. He's very self-conscious, but everybody likes him. And I think that further drives in this point, oh, if they knew me, they wouldn't like me, which makes him feel more alienated. So even if he didn't like to be called cute, which most people like a compliment or can take a compliment, I think when she explained to him, no, it's just we're saying how we feel about you. It's how we feel about you, why it's important. And this is how I feel. And he's like, I guess you're cute too if you were distressed. And I thought that was nice because it's like his acceptance of, oh, maybe it is okay. It's not the big deal I was making it out to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Toru explains that that's how her mom expressed her love to her. And mm-hmm. so when Toru says cute, she thinks it's a loving word. It's not condescending, where
right,
I feel like
yeah.
Yuki kind of felt like, oh, they think I'm a cute little girl. When I'm not, I'm
right.
a guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a guy. Mm-hmm. Oh, really, Yuki? Come on. Calm down. But no, definitely they say cute means love. And it does seem like Yuki reacts pretty well when he tells Toru that she's cute after she tells him cute means love.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. But we also get a nice little warning of Hattori and not to be alone with him, which is yes. Like, oh, foreshadowing. Uh-oh. Because Hattori is the person who erases people's minds, aka hypnotizes them.
Yep. Yeah, he's the family doctor, so he definitely is able to place himself where he needs to be for that very easily. And one of my favorite parts about this episode is the interactions with Momiji. He's a very fun character so far. We don't really know a lot about him, but he, we find out, is the rabbit because he lured Toru over to this area behind curtains and Kyo's over there and, oh, how do you know each other? And then Momiji's like, hey, Toru, you know our secret. That means I can give you a hug. And then Kyo's like, ah, calm down, you perv. And then Momiji being the rabbit was definitely like, oh, what? It's just because you like her, isn't it? I bet you hug her every day. And then Kyo is immediately repulsed because Momiji got him right in the feelings. And then, yay! And he hugs Toru, and we all find out he's the rabbit.
Yeah, it's so cute. Out of every one of the Zodiac, it does seem like Momiji is like, hug, 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 come, come, yep. Come. Like, uh-huh. I'm so cute. Ooh, we went back to cute.
Oh,
Momiji definitely thinks cute is a good thing.
Yes, for
always
sure.
Always asking about, do I look cute? Uh-huh. How cute am I now? but yeah, he is adorable.
And the rabbit, their characteristics are gentle, quiet, elegant, alert, quick, skillful, kind, and patient.
Ooh.
And I think you see those characteristics in Momiji's very kind, very quick, obviously outsmarted the cat very quickly.
Yeah.
Well, when we see about his mom, maybe we can delve into some of the patience there. Yeah, that's a future episode. So you already seen it, you know where that's going, but I think there's patience.
You're right. If we think of in the long game, but in the short game, hug me, hug
yeah,
me.
Yeah, nope. Hug me, hug me. No, way more important. Oh, that's funny. But yeah, I think that's all that happens at the school. We meet Momiji, Hattori. Hattori talks about Hattori's a plain girl, you know. She gets that comment a lot from people.
Yeah. Yeah. Not very impressive, which is like, oh.
And then you see the big confrontation of Toru and her best friends in the stairwell.
Because she accidentally reveals where she's been living. And the friends swore to take an oath to take care of each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, her.
Yeah. Well, yes. All of the threesome of friends.
Yes.
The triangle. The triad.
Triad.
And this triad is Toru, U, and Hana. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though they're not mad, but a little hurt.
Maybe? Oh, yes. I love their reaction in the hallway because at first it was like, wait, are you guys dating? And she's like, oh, absolutely not. We're just living together. And then Hana's reaction cracks me up every time because she looks so just with the black and the hat and all those things. I'm going to need you to explain. And Tori's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, like this, we're going to need to talk about this.
And yes.
It's like, oh no, because basically she has been kind of lying to her friends, which
yes.
Is not
misleading them at the least. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she definitely told them that she was living with her grandpa, which
you're right. Yeah.
She was. And then they were like, yeah, you're still good with that, right? And she was in the tent, like, yeah.
Mm.
Yep. Me and Gramps, we're the best.
That's funny.
But I just think it's a really cool episode that you get to see the friends' love for one another and that, you know, they come over, they have a cute little sleepover, and we do get a little more backstory of what this old hat is to Toru. But in general, you get to see how much the friends care about her living situation and how Toru cares if they're cool with it or not.
I really like the hat story, and it's funny because I haven't read the manga like you, so I don't have the ultimate answer, so I keep running a mid-game analysis through it. she's at the sleepover with her friends, telling them about this boy that saved her when she was being bullied. She wanted to go home. He kind of ran and led her back to her place and gave her this hat. You see Kyo watching the room as she's telling the story, but you don't see him react. And then she asks the question, like, I wonder where he's at now. And then it flashes to Yuki. And so to me, I'm like, well, Yuki collected her things from the grandpa's house. So he must have seen the hat if it were his. But then Kyo heard this story. If he remembered this story, like, I'm really hoping that one of those two boys was the boy in the story. But, like, yeah, just kind of waiting on pins and needles for the result.
I think it's going to be interesting, the outcome of that. But in general, I do want to say that I don't think Kyo's ever actually seen the hat.
Okay.
Even, I know that me and you both have obviously finished 2019 mm-hmm. season one, and I don't think he sees it throughout the whole episode, like the whole season.
Okay, I think you're right. Yeah, he just heard the story, but Yuki ends up seeing the hat at some point.
Yeah, you're like, he can hear a story about it, but like, I don't think he's ever seen the hat, but we do mm-hmm. see Yuki see the hat too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And like you said, it would be weird if he didn't know about it because he's the one who brought it out of the dirt.
So. Right. Yeah.
But you see him see it, you see him kind of react to it. So there's something about Yuki and the hat for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a cute little way that Toru shows that, you know, it's great to find home and home is comfort. And then they all sleep together, holding one another. Super cute.
They do. And I think that that's the positive moment there because, like I mentioned, the whole episode seems to be about vulnerability. When the girls get there, oh, look, a dog. And everybody goes, ah, but there's actually is a dog there to show how tense they are having people come into their home. Toru wants to play rich man, poor man because Yuki had expressed how he wants to feel this inclusion. So she's like, oh, perfect timing. Let me go include you and do these things here. And then the next day the cat and the rat are fighting and Hana catches them with their waves. And it's funny because it's all these little tense moments. But then it's okay. And the girls have acceptance. And then Hana tells them, has anyone told you that your waves are nice? And like, oh, you don't know? That's even better because then you know, not operating off of that. So I think it's cute because it shows you that tense energy that we all have when we're risking being found out or something and that, no, we got you. It'll be fine.
Yeah. And I think there's another layer to that when it comes to like, oh, well, if we get found out, Toru's mind could get erased too.
Right, so, true. Like, yeah.
It's a big deal. It's not.
It is a big deal.
Let's not mess up, guys. But in general, like you said, I like the acceptance that happens. And then, you know, we get a pretty good cliffhanger of Hattori summons dun, dun, Toru dun. To the main house.
Hattori. Oh, no.
Da, da, da. And then we're done. No, and we'll see you guys next. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, gosh. No, yeah, right.
Right. Like, that's why we wait to binge the episodes, guys.
Mm-hmm. Binge is key.
Yeah, that would have been a one where I was like, wait, even though I know what's going to happen, I'm like, oh, I love this episode.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't wait.
And it's a little, maybe a little macabre. I'm going to side story real quick, but I definitely started reading a trilogy where the author died in the middle of the second book,
what?
Which is so sad for that person. But it's also just like, you know, might be a little selfish, but you're like, the story.
Yeah, that's like, I'll never know the ending.
So I'm very nervous about starting things that aren't finished. So when you said that, I identify with it a lot.
That's funny. But I feel the exact same way. Like the anime Gangsta.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Love it to pieces. Decided to only have 13 episodes in season one, ended with one of the main characters basically falling out of a window, possibly dying, and they canceled season two.
No.
And I'm like, what is going on?
Oh my gosh, devastation.
Yeah, but of
course. Where's Hattori? I need those memory wipes.
Yeah. Get this out of my head. Not worth having.
Right.
But no, I definitely read the manga, but again, the I don't know what it is with these Japanese manga artists and writers, but why are you sickly? Please get better.
Please get better. Do you need American chicken soup? Because we can help you out. Right, it works here.
Right. Because this author is also like chilling. Like I'm still stuck. Did not finish the story yet. Not finishing the story because it's been a month and a half and no new chapters have been released. So, but okay. Good thing that Fruits Basket is a totally completed manga. If anyone ever wants to read it, it is there. So don't worry. You don't have to have the struggles that I go through. So this is episode 7. I call it kind of the Kana episode, but it is Hattori's episode. What I really initially like about this episode is that it is much more like the manga than the previous Fruits Basket season 1. So I got really excited about that. Because we kind of get right into it. Like, it's like, let's not mess around with Momiji too much. Right. Let's go to the main house, talk to Hattori like we said we would do, and get punished by him instantly. Like, instead of any fun, no fun game.
Nope. Jump right in. And then it also sets up a really intense foil between Toru and Akito, which we don't really know that much about Akito, but they have a back-to-back line flip about the moon. When the guys are talking to Toru's friends and the friends feel bad they didn't help, and the guys are like, that's okay, she's not that kind of girl, like, she deserves the moon, she'd never ask you for it. Almost immediately after that, Shigure shows up at Akito and he's like, ha ha ha, they're happy, take that. And then Akito makes this comment like, you know, I know I always ask for the moon, and you can tell it's purpose with the placement there. So you're right. It gets a lot of boom, 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 like points in about the family and everything.
Yeah. Yes. We definitely get to see a lot of, I don't know if I want to say contradictions that Akito and Toru have, but maybe just differences.
Just, yeah, the duality, like if you compare the two. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. but yeah, so we get kind of Hattori being a little cold to Toru, telling her that she probably needs to just leave this be and get out of here. She has no place with the Somas. He does tell about the curse as well.
He opens her up to it a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So he calls the curse of the Somas is for regret and pain. Which I think Toru's like, that's very vague. I'm not understanding.
She's like, it doesn't help me at all. Yeah, actually.
Like, people regret and get in pain because of Soma people is what he, or people who are cursed with the Zodiac in the Soma family. So I think one of my favorite parts about episode 7 is the question of what comes when snow melts. I think that is my absolute favorite, because then you always say spring, a new season, because that is the answer, but people don't always have that answer, because Kana actually asked that to Hattori. And this episode is all about, you know, Hattori just remembering the past and kind of his psychological pain.
Yes, there's a lot of that.
Yes. So what did you think the overall theme was for this episode?
So what I picked up from the episode is like a feeling of hope. So not necessarily, I hope this will happen or I hope this will happen, but Hattori draws the line, kind of like he puts himself in, I'm going to be the frozen day without spring. I'm going to kind of, it's almost like he's serving a penance. And I'll just hold on and hold this together and it'll be fine. But then he asked Toru the same snow question. And she's like, oh, spring comes. She goes, it always comes eventually. And I think that's really what points to hope. So whether somebody thinks Toru is going to break the curse will be gone, or that maybe they'll just be one day be happy being in the curse, whatever that looks like. I think that this opens Hattori up for hope.
Yeah, I definitely could see that, because we get to see him, you know, talk about how this is all about regret and pain.
Yeah.
We see the love of his life basically apologize for not being strong enough to him, which is very demoralizing. He has to, you know, erase slash hypnotize her to forget him. And it's a very psychological complex, I feel like, having this power for him. I think that was really important, that he had to take away Kana's memory, and Kana was the love of his life, because he has to be devoted to Akito, and Akito was unhappy.
Yes.
But I think that seeing literally they show like the snow melting, because Toru says, like you said, it will always come, instead of just the typical answer that spring comes after. Doesn't matter how cold it is now, spring will always come. And I was like, oh, that's beautiful to me. And I think one other thing that you really get out of episode 7 is, for once, Shigure doesn't want to talk about stuff.
Right. Like, it's the first time.
Yeah. He's a very open character to Toru. And she asks him blankly, like, can you tell me what the curse is? And he's like, no.
Not yet. But and then he does the cute answer too. Well, she's like, I feel like I need to be doing something. And he's like, Toru, just be yourself.
Yeah, which is another thing that reflects her mother. So another Kyoko quote being used by one of the Somos. But yeah, I think that's, this is one of my favorite episodes. It's very impactful. And I love how you get the feels. Definitely get the feels here. Yep. Good little one-off too. If you ever, I feel like if you ever had to watch a one-off episode and just be like, what's going on? It would be like, this episode has a complete story to it.
That it does. The curse, the animal, the love, the memory wipe, Akito and Toru.
Yeah. And the animal, speaking of the animal, we do find out who Hattori's animal is.
Speaking of psychological complexes.
Right.
Very embarrassed. Yes. So he is the dragon, and characteristics of the dragon are confident, intelligent, ambitious, persevering, and hardworking.
Which is definitely all of Hattori. Absolutely. Sadly, the confidence in what the dragon looks like is probably not there, because the dragon is a seahorse.
He is a seahorse. The sea dragon.
Which,
sea dragon.
Yes, which is a sea dragon, which is also interesting because just as an animal person, there's a seahorse and then there is the sea dragon, and a sea dragon looks different. And so, for me, I was kind of like, they could have done the sea dragon. It looks like a seahorse, except it, instead of like the cute little curly tail, it like goes out. It's like a little longer. Yeah. And the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago had like a good sea dragon exhibit for a while, and I was like, whoa. And I definitely went, and they're just tiny little things, and you just kind of get a little disappointed.
Toru says, oh, there's a surprise factor, and that's fun.
That is funny, because like you expect a dragon, and like as somebody who loves dragons myself, I was really excited to meet the dragon, and then you're like, aw, like you couldn't have even done a Komodo dragon. Like that's a little more intense. But I think in all sense of it is that they tried to make animals that were in Japan. And I don't think Komodo dragons are. They're actually also on the island of Komodo. So
yeah, that's fair. And Hattori's, he's a nurturer, you know, not sea dragons. I'm going to be saying that forever now. Seahorses, the males have the babies. You know, he is a lover. He just wants to take care of people. And Akito is mean and hurt him. And he still takes care of Akito. He offers medical services to Toru once they start their friendship. He takes care of her as well, too. So I think the seahorse is a little appropriate, even with that surprise factor, you know, no fire breathing.
I love it. I love it. Good, funny. Positive twist on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we can jump into episode 8 then.
Okay.
Which is another really, really kind of impactful episode, because this is the New Year's episode. And as we would think, in the zodiac, New Year's is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
That's, you know, new year, new animal gets to dance. But no, episode 8, I think my first big thing that I like is how Shigure feels that the boys, Kyo and Yuki, think Toru's words are law.
Yes, he says that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that was one thing that, like, whatever she says, like, yep, okay, yep, that's what we're going to do. Because mm-hmm. he can't get them to go to the Soma house for New Year's. And Toru obviously just is like, no, you guys are good. Mm-hmm. But little does she know, that means they stay for a really long time. So Toru's going to be alone. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she planned for that.
Right.
And I think her friends were both kind of like, trying to talk to her and be like, yeah, so what are you coming to our houses? Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm going to do my own thing. And then she's basically left alone. Do you have anything before?
I thought it was cute how you have the intro scene and it's the girls with, oh, what are you doing? Then you have the thing with the boys. Oh, what are you doing? And immediately Toru jumps into this like, oh my gosh, your family is so important. You need to spend time with your family and this. And so the trend is her trying to push people towards their family without putting herself at the center of attention. And I think the trend of this one is support. So the theme of this episode is support because nice. Toru supports people overtly and subtly. And she makes the encouraging comments. And I think the girls are aware. I think the guys are a little self-involved at the moment because they have issues with the Soma house. They're more distracted and thinking about those things. So when Toru's like, no, come on, you guys, you know you need to go. Family is important. They're like, yeah, okay, she's right. I know I need to go because they're just focused over there. And mm-hmm. then when they really get hit in the head, like, you know, get a newspaper and knock them on the nose, Toru is alone and her mom died. They're like, oh crap. And then they like literally run back. What was I thinking? I wasn't even supporting her at all. I was so wrapped up in my own like BS. And it's so funny to see that realization moment. But the girls knew. They already knew.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that because I think it's funny how is like Hana being passive aggressive here or just passively said, I don't know, but she's definitely the person who stops them on their way and likes to be like, you know, she's spending New Year's alone, first time without her mother. Mm-hmm. And like, they kind of get to this realization that Toru is a person who says what you want and just smiles. And so mm-hmm. you feel good about it, mm-hmm. even though it's not really how she's feeling, which I don't know about you, Roz, but that is the most annoying thing for me.
That is so funny. You hate support, Tori?
I don't hate support. I hate when you say what other people want and smile to make, like, if you're not feeling that way, like, oh, that annoys me. Like, yes, please go with your family. Unless
you're like, yo, you're like, it's okay to be selfish once in a while. It's okay to say what you want.
Well, especially, like, the guys were seriously, like, clueless. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They had no idea how she was feeling. And we know when they come back, like she almost started like sobbing by herself alone,
right, yeah,
watching New Year's shows and stuff.
I don't think Toru knew she was doing that though. I think she really wanted what would make them happy. And so she just wasn't putting herself into the equation. I don't think she was going, oh, I'm going to be miserable, but I want you to leave anyway. I think she was just like, no, I want you to be happy and you never get to see your families and this sounds important. So I think you should do it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. As I say, and you brought up Hana, and I love Hana and Shigure's interactions in the sleepover episode. She's a big fan of his book. And then here, Shigure is teasing Yuki and Kyo, and then literally thinks to himself, oh, I like this game. After he starts making them freak out, she's going to get robbed. She's going to choke on mochi and die. And as soon as he says, oh, I like this game, Hana is like, oh, good evening. And he's like, ah, like a little girl. And like, after it was her bit you talked about where she just really heartfeltly goes, did you think about what you're doing and the emotional ramification? He's like, touche, girl. I see you too are good at this game. Yeah, but I love Hana and Shigure's little interactions that pop up.
I think the end theme that I got to from this, besides that Kyo wants to finally beat the rat, which was hilarious. Like, that's a big surprise, right? Giant reveal. Very embarrassing, but doesn't care that that's what he screams out across the town of for his New Year's wish, which is a cute idea. Kind of want to do that now. But I got the overall theme of like the power of home and what home means to them, because they kind of all talk about like, cause she wants them to go home, but they don't actually feel comfortable there. They're like, like this is not really a place we want to be. And they eventually just want to go together and be all together. And it is a great New
Year. And they say, I want to go home, which shows where their real home is. It's not the Soma house anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think it's interesting where we see Shigure kind of being an underlining comment about reaping what you sowed about Akito.
Yes.
Like Akito started this all, and now like Akito's not going to be very happy that people are skipping their big event. And Akito's going to reap what he sowed, he or she sowed.
Yeah, and Akito wasn't happy. Akito was like draped over the bench and had made a comment early in the episode. Oh, it's been so long since I've seen Yuki. And I don't know what Akito and Yuki's relationship is, but there's an obvious draw to Yuki from Akito. Akito wants something from him or about him. And I don't know what that is because it's not been revealed in the anime.
Akito tortured
Yuki. Well, yeah, I picked up on that one, but like
emotionally so.
Right. And so bad. I don't know what this like, oh, I want to see him. Oh, give me a picture. Oh, you know, just curious to see what that ends up turning into.
I don't know if it like, this is just something I thought of initially is like how like the mouse or the rat is just like a tiny thing you could hold in the palm of your hands. And I feel like that's how Akito likes to feel about Yuki is like, this is my little thing that I can play with. And that's
like
why
my pet.
Him in the room and he was always mine, and they kind of look similar to one another.
They do,
which is another kind of weird psychological thing, I would think. Like Akito just has this thing where Akito needs to feel powerful,
and Yuki
has granted him that. But we can just jump right into episode 9 then, which is the race episode.
It is.
Fun run. And some. We also get to meet a new Zodiac member, which is Hatsuharu, which is always fun. Who's technically two people, I guess, because he's Dark Haru and Hatsuharu.
Yeah, Hatsuharu, right? There you go.
I think this episode, my favorite thing, besides it's very humorous and with all the little hijinks that go around Haru, really not knowing Toru, but is just like, hey, hang on a second. I got to do this.
Yeah. Hey, weirdo. Hold on.
Hold 1 minute. They're coming. So I got to keep very hyper-focused on the boys at all times.
Even when he's lost for 3 days in the city, which, oh my God.
Yes, which is totally like a cow thing. Like, oh, it couldn't even find its way home.
I didn't think about that. That's funny.
Yes. But I think the main thing I like about this episode is the metaphors that are used about the Zodiacs, kind of like the Zodiac animals kind of being like stereotypes in general, and how some people judge others with such vague memes.
That's true. Yeah.
And so like, because we figure out that Hatsuharu is the ox or the cow, depending on what you would like to call it. In Fruits Basket, he looks like a cow, which again, to me is like, he could have been a bull, but we like to be ambiguous with him. So you never really know. So instead he's a dairy cow that is a guy.
I love he's a dairy cow. I feel like Haru represents a lot of dualities. So he has the black and white color thing. He has Haru and Dark Haru. He's a boy who's also, you know, a cow, which is a female. There's a lot of references to him about Fruits Basket, about being bisexual. One of my favorite fan stickers actually says "Bifurious," and it's Haru like looking like he's gonna get in a fight, and I think that's amazing. So, and you've made the comment before that Haru is probably the closest person to Toru in the Soma family. And I 100% agree. So I like that he's the cow, because I feel like it just shows that he can see the whole circle, because he's just like all of these different opposites and dualities that, that work together well.
Yes. Yeah. Which I wonder, like, will you read the ox?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, let's see if there is anything like that. Like a balance.
So the ox says decisive, honest, dependable, and hardworking.
Dependable for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And
decisive. I can see that. He did not give up once. He was lost 3 days in the city. Like, I'm never going to forget that about him. 3 whole days lost in a city. Never gave up.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to give him decisive.
I'm not going to give him decisive. He didn't say he made the right decision, but he sticks with it.
Yeah, I think throughout the anime, though, we see him kind of flop to like, oh, now I'm doing this, or now I'm doing that, and now I'm doing this. Oh, now I got to go back doing that.
Does he get wishy-washy?
I mean,
because just because you change your mind doesn't mean you're not decisive. Like, you can pick a direction and then pick a new direction.
I guess, but that would, to me, that wouldn't be decisive, but I guess, sure.
Because I'm for sure wishy-washy. Like, I could have a plan to go to a party, be on my way to the party, and still not be committed that I'm going to be going to the party. So I think I'm the opposite of Haru.
I'm like, that doesn't sound decisive to me. That sounds
So I'm not.
Okay.
I am not decisive. So my level for wishy-washy. And then so when I see him, like, he made a decision and he 100% is going down this road for the decision. Then he can make a new decision, but he follows through, you know, until he chooses to go somewhere else. So that's just my perspective.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'll give it to you, but I'm like, out of all of it, I'm like, that's the one I'm like, eh. But you know, it's like we said, these are very vague. These are years of people and we're trying to get kind of more personality type, but
yes.
I think you get more personality by just watching them do their thing. But yeah, like we were saying, how Haru kind of uses these metaphors, or doesn't mean to use the metaphors, but in general, he feels as though because people believe the ox or the cow is a stupid thing, a stupid creature, people feel he's stupid or an idiot.
Oh yeah, so, especially as a kid, you know, when you hear people say something where you see that that is you, or you have something with that, like, it's too easy to take it personally.
The cow's an idiot for letting the rat ride on his back to the banquet. Mm-hmm. And we see these stereotypes throughout the Zodiac. The cat is an idiot or is ostracized and not allowed to be anywhere, and all these different things. The rat is elite and special and blah 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 blue about the rat. There's a lot of things that the people within the Zodiac feel about one another just because they have their animal in quotes. And I believe that, I think people are realizing, and Hatuharu realized that it's stupid to judge people before you know them. Because once he did that with Yuki, he realized, I actually love Yuki now.
Yeah, he's my first love.
He's my first love.
Oh, Yuki, I told Toru about how I love you. Yuki's like, why? Stop.
Right? Stop being weird, Hatsuharu.
Right.
Like, stop. Why?
And Haru actually said something, because you were talking about how they're very stereotypical and judgy about the spirit animals and people who embody these animals. But Yuki to Haru, Yuki was kind and empowering, and Haru says he's nothing like how they all said he's the dirty rat. And so to me, I'm like, so rats are supposed to be cool, rats are supposed to be like lucky and auspicious and all these things, but then it makes me curious, as someone who's not read the manga, like, is that one of the things that makes Yuki so insecure, that people assumed he was this dirty rat, this trickster, this, oh, he's gonna get you, he's sneaky, don't trust him. You know, so it's interesting, because that comment was made. I don't know what that looks like. Yeah, you haven't seen Yuki a lot in the Soma house.
I think that was more of Hatsuharu's take on the rat. Not.
Oh, okay.
I don't think the house feels that. Like,
not
for the
house.
Most,
okay.
No. Yeah, like, people think the rat's special. Like, like, Yuki even has a comment where, like, they tell him, like, oh, how lucky your son was born in the year of the rat.
Ah, okay. That's fair.
Spirit. So
I might have jumped too detailed onto that one, but I heard it and I was like, interesting.
which it would make sense for Hatsuhara to feel that way because he was used by him, or so he feels.
Even though it wasn't either of them anyway, but
But I just like I love that he feels it's stupid to judge people before you know them. And the moment he meets Yuki, he falls in love with him, and he's been loyal to him ever since. He also shows that he enjoys Kyo. He enjoys almost every member of the Zodiac.
He does. Yeah, very close to Toru.
Yeah. He likes almost everybody. And he also likes to kind of meddle a little bit too. And I think one of the funniest things at the end of this is he tells Toru, like, you should probably not call him like Soma anymore. You probably should call him by his real name. And she's like, no. And he's like, just try it. And so Toru uses Yuki for the first time. And lo and behold, Yuki gets very uncomfortable and transforms.
And she goes, I failed your test. And Haru is like, but you didn't.
Yes. It's like, I figured out what Yuki likes.
Right.
And that's why for me, I know we've discussed this before. For me, I feel like Haru doesn't love Yuki in the sense of I want to make love to you. I feel like he loves him more like a brother and stuff because he does want him to succeed with other people. I feel like Haru is like, let's see if Yuki really likes this girl.
So I would offer that if you look at, you know, Haru saying that he loves Yuki versus Kagura, who acts like an abusive, you know, person in a relationship with Kyo. Like, and this is one of the reasons I don't like Kagura as a person, even though it's just the way she's drawn. But to me, like, when you love somebody, a real love, you want them to be happy. And so him being a kid and falling in love for the first time, you can grow up, you can grow out of that and realize, oh, okay, maybe I want something this direction or that direction. But I don't think that it was a brotherly thing. I think that, you know, she wrote him to say those kind of words for a reason. Like, I'm going to make you mine. Like, they might have been past feelings that aren't real anymore. Now might be more of a tease, but I do think that they wrote it that way to represent that, like, there was something there and that, you know, Haru just matured or realized, oh, this is why I felt that way. Let me look for love in this different direction or, you know, something. But I don't think it, you know, just agree to disagree. I don't think it points to the brotherly thing as much.
Yeah, you definitely can think it's otherwise. That's literally what
I really want that sticker. Is. That's why, you know.
That's what coupling is. Anyone can say any anime character loves one another. It can be yaoi?
Oh, yeah. Toru's vision of Kyo and Yuki on the beach. Like
yeah. It can be whatever you want. That's what's great about anime. The one thing is it does in this anime, which I already told you I like about it, is it does actually couple people up. Mm-hmm. Which I know some people don't like that, but
I like that. I like the truth. I don't mind being wrong in a theory.
Yes, I enjoy the completion. Mm-hmm. Please complete the story for me, like we already we've already complained about. Yeah. But no, I think that was my basic take of episode 9. Did you have an overall theme? Did you already tell your overall theme of 9?
Well, the overall theme that I had was mostly, like, this arc that we chose builds up the family. It builds up the world that we're in. It introduces new people as foils. And I think this one was kind of like Yuki's episode where, like, people tell the story about Yuki instead of him doing it himself. Because you see the competitiveness with Kyo. Haru mentions, oh, they're not physically fighting. They're just yelling. Wow, they've gotten really close. Right. You know, and then talk about, like, this is how Yuki was as a child. So I feel like this was kind of the, hey, let's look at Yuki from an outsider's perspective episode.
Nice. Which is great. We want to always find out more. To see, you know, learn more about the story, learn more about the plot, figure it out before it figures you out. But yeah, I think that was good. And I'm excited. Our next arc is going to be shorter. It's just going to be 10 through 12.
Okay.
So I guess 10, 11, 12. That's only 3 episodes, but yeah, I'm excited to examine those in our next chapter. And I guess I would just say thanks for listening to the Rice Balls. I hope everybody liked it. Where can we find you, Roz?
I'm on Facebook under Rosalita, 3 words.
Nice, nice. And we can always, everybody can always find the rice balls at the Bells of Fury. That's Bells with an E on the end, kind of like Belle from Beauty and the Beast. Holla. And then you can find me at Tori Clark underscore boss mode on Instagram. So I'm all over the IG, but, or you can find us on Spotify if you haven't heard us yet. But thanks everybody. And we'll see you guys for episodes 10 through 12, next chapter.